I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Cincinnati, Ohio.
I'm Alicia Kintner. I'm president and CEO of ArtsWave, the Cincinnati region's engine for the arts.
It's one of the premier arts organizations in the whole United States of America.
The leading local arts agencies and largest community arts campaign.
How did that happen?
Our history goes back to 1927, when the Taft family of Cincinnati decided to leave its art collection to the people of Cincinnati, along with $1 million, if the people of Cincinnati would show that they'd value such a thing by contributing matching dollars. And within 3 months in 1927, several thousand Cincinnatians had contributed $2.5 million, to which the Tafts added $1 million and created an endowment that exists today as ArtsWave.
That's incredible. Those are big numbers for that time.
Absolutely.
Quick aside, Taft is in President Taft?
Yes, that family, yes. Uh-huh. He actually accepted the nomination on the porch of the family home, yes.
Neither here nor there, but most people don't know the state of Ohio has birthed more presidents than any other state in the union.
Well, that's a fun fact.
I know. So, back to your world. Here we are today, 2024.
Yes.
And you're still reinventing yourself post-COVID.
Absolutely. You know, the arts were hit hard by the pandemic, really an industry that had to shut down overnight. And we're experiencing the same shifts in consumer behavior and how we access entertainment. All of those things have changed how people engage with the arts. Mm-hmm. And as a fundraiser for the arts, we are looking for new ways to meet people where they are, to capture hearts and minds and donations in new ways. But this is a community that cares about the arts, and every year, tens of thousands of people contribute to the ArtsWave campaign.
Everything is kind of fluid and,
yes,
and changing before your eyes, and even where you put on performance.
Yeah, that's a great point. One of the things that ArtsWave does as the primary arts funder is encourage organizations to get outside of their own four walls. Mm-hmm. So to take the performances outside.
Symphony might get out of the symphony hall.
Yes, get out of symphony hall, perform in neighborhoods, perform in parks, perform at the riverbank, places where in old days union musicians probably wouldn't want to go outside of the acoustically correct hall. But now it's part of the organization's culture. And in fact, the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra's mission is to be the most relevant orchestra in America. That leads to all sorts of different changes. And for our museums as well, you know, they used to say, well, how do we take an insured piece of art outside? And that, of course, isn't exactly the point. But as an example, the Cincinnati Art Museum, right before COVID, coincidentally, built what they called the Art Climb, which is 1,000 steps that connect the museum on the hill down to the busy street below. Mm-hmm. And it's covered with sculpture and art installations, and it's a great place to get your morning exercise.
Wow. Bringing the arts outside
again. Yes, yes. Connecting people that had never been up the hill now have a way and a reason to go there. And of course, our art museum is also free admission.
Some cities I go to, it's a deal breaker to go to the Art Institute.
That's right.
Mom and dad and five kids, might as well go to Disneyland.
That's right.
So some of them do like Thursdays free or making sure it's accessible at some point to anybody.
That's right. And obviously, there are hard costs associated with being an arts organization, and earned revenue, ticket revenue, whether you're a museum or a performing arts organization, typically accounts for about half of your revenue and contributions the other half. But we are very fortunate in Cincinnati that two of our museums, anyway, thanks to philanthropy, are able to be open free all the time to the public.
That is so cool. And then another evolution is bringing the art to people by going to the schools, from performance to artworks.
Yes. Arts education, unfortunately, is something that's often eliminated from curriculum mm-hmm. for all kinds of reasons. And that deprives kids of such important learning opportunities, not just about, you know, making or creating art, but working together, working collaboratively, having an appreciation of other cultures, problem-solving skills that for some kids are unlocked by arts activities. So anyway, we are intentionally and strategically and systematically trying to ensure that every child grades 1 through 6 has at least one arts field trip every year, mm-hmm. district by district, so that it's equitable access to the experience and tied to the curriculum.
In some school districts, the deal breaker is as simple as they can't afford the budget for the buses.
Right. And that is an issue. And even the bus driver shortage is another complication.
But isn't that interesting, these different dynamics that wouldn't immediately occur to you?
Yes.
How do you overcome those?
And that's why the arts are a nonprofit industry, because market forces just wouldn't allow us to charge what it costs to have great art mm-hmm. and an accessible experience. And so philanthropy is so important. And Cincinnati's tradition of arts philanthropy is community-based. $1, $5 at a time, wow. $1 per paycheck. We do 150 workplace giving campaigns from companies as large as Procter & Gamble and GE Aerospace and Kroger to law firms, the Cincinnati Public School District, accounting firms, retail, restaurants. It's an amazing community partnership.
But you not only the nickel and dimes and the dollars, but you go and meet with CEOs and whatnot to get some big buck donations, right?
Yes. In fact, this year's ArtsWave community campaign has reached its highest level ever, $12.5 million from just shy of 30,000 donations. And the campaign this year is led by the CEO and chairman and president of Procter & Gamble, John Mueller, and Lisa Sauer, his wife, a retired P&G executive. And they have a cabinet of about 50 business leaders. One thing they did this year was ask C-level business execs to step up to $5,000 or more and not shy away from that level of giving. And we've had 160 C-level executives make that commitment to the
That's
campaign.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. There's broad support. Now, it's on us and our arts partners to make their investment relevant mm-hmm. and meaningful and impactful. And we quantified the economic return mm-hmm. this year to be about $42 for every $1 invested in ArtsWave, the wow. ripple effect through the arts partners and their direct and indirect spending. It's a big number.
Let's back up to square one again for a moment. The arts, such a broad swath. Talk to us about what it would encapsulate and cover, arts.
Well, arts and human creativity, of course, are what set us apart from AI and other things that we're contending with, talking about a changing landscape. In Cincinnati, we're fortunate to have professional arts organizations in really every discipline. So full-time symphony orchestra, top 10 symphony, the first encyclopedic art museum west of the Alleghenies, the Cincinnati Art Museum, classical ballet company, Cincinnati Ballet, opera company that is second only to the Met in New York City.
Wow.
In fact, the Cincinnati Opera was founded in 1920 because the originators and founders of the Cincinnati Zoo were worried that not enough people were coming to see the animals. So they went to New York and invited Metropolitan Opera singers to come to Cincinnati in the off season, so summer instead of fall, and sing in the zoo.
Wow.
And that is why to this day, the Cincinnati Opera season is in the summer mm-hmm. instead of the fall and winter. And up until the 1960s or 70s, our opera performed at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Do they ever come back and sing for
They
them?
Do.
Yeah.
They do. They perform in the zoo every few years. Yes.
That is really cool.
It is. Yeah. It is. And a little counterintuitive that we would bring opera singers so that people would come see the animals. Yeah. But it's a great Cincinnati story and an example of how committed the founders of the city were to making a destination that was known for the arts. And we continue to do that today. We have one of the newest and now largest in the U.S. art and light-based festivals. So it's a technology and art festival called Blink. It happens in October every other year. So this is a Blink year. You should come back and see. 4 days, 30 blocks, two states. We cover the Cincinnati, the Ohio River, and go into Covington and Newport.
So they let you into Kentucky?
They do. We have a we are one region, yes, Northern Kentucky. And
a little bit more before we go. Cool things that you do. You know, it's like, again, what are the arts? It could be a puppeteer.
Absolutely. We have a puppet company called Madcap Puppets, so you put your finger on it. We have a vast network of neighborhood arts associations, arts centers that serve the neighbors around them and do programming that is both for amateur artists, makers, but also bringing professional organizations into those neighborhoods. We have a huge network of amateur community theaters, a lot of thespians in town. We have a thriving and burgeoning film industry and are considered one of the best places in the U.S. to be a movie maker and make your career.
And that's because of your film commission, right?
We have a very active commission, Film Cincinnati, that's been aggressive and intentional for several decades in establishing Cincinnati is a great place for major motion pictures and commercials, and part of it is our architecture, which can look like many other cities quite easily.
And then the riverfront.
And too. The river, we have really beautiful riverfront, huge collection of Italianate architecture and over the Rhine. And then we have this nonprofit creative industry and the for-profit creative industries that support our large corporations. So we have lots of creatives in the community able to make a living doing both nonprofit arts and technicians, and then work also on the film crews. So yeah, it's a great place to be an artist and a great place to be an arts lover.
I love it. Anything you want to add before we go?
We'll be hosting the National Americans for the Arts Convention in June of 2025. So we'll look forward to welcoming people from around the country, local and state arts agencies to Cincinnati.
Okay, Alicia, to learn more about your world, where would you direct us?
Our website is artswave.org. We're also on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, anywhere else you find your social these days, at ArtsWave. It's been great talking with you, Tom.
You too, Alicia. What a pleasure.
Great.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Cincinnati, Ohio. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.